Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing. Radio
X. Welcome to the 4 till 7 Fang podcast. I'm Johnny Vaughan. That's the Woodman, Gav. Why, over there's Dr. Sons Templeton. No big Si, we've got little Si, which means we have a talking producer. Hi, little Si.
Hello.
Shut up! And we've got Joe right here, operating the machine that makes it happen. And probably, I would think, as we've recorded this on Friday, he's probably still in his mind, he's with the monkeys.
I am. I'm a little dehydrated.
Are you?
Yes.
Joe went to the Arctic Monkeys after tour party, actually in a pub, not backstage.
Yeah, where
actually,
everything was free and there were famous people there.
Hang on, how long did it take you to get? That's quite away from the venue.
I got a car.
Did you go to? Wait a second. Did you go to this thing? So
yes,
far, you've described a pub. Did you go?
Yes, I did, yes.
And you said there was a Beatles tribute act there.
This was a pub gig, wasn't it, Joe? You didn't go to the Arctic Monkeys.
It doesn't sound like an Arctic Monkeys thing at all, thinking it through.
It was.
Okay, here's the deal. Joe said it was in a pub and there was a band, the Beatles, and he said they really like the Beatles. They all had moustaches.
I'd love it if Paul McCartney still had a big tash.
Absolutely. Great, no beard. A great big mozza. Anyway, do you know what? This podcast is dedicated to the Arctic Monkeys because they just gave us such good shows this week. It was just so good. I'm still thinking about it. Yeah. You know, and that's the only real way you know if you've been to a good gig. It's the way they stay with you.
Mm.
It's not like a being there one or one of the ones that eyes went along or whatever. Yeah. It just stays with you.
Yeah, you don't ever forget it.
No,
yeah.
Never. Never, Gav. Never. Look at me now.
Wow.
I'm dancing with the monkeys.
You really are.
Coming up for the Arctic Monkeys Delectation, Obese Turks, Randy Monkeys, Elton John, Smart Trousers, Posh Kids, and a terrifying army of robots. Enjoy. It does actually sound like...
It could be a track listing for an Arctic Monkeys album.
Yes.
It could.
No, they wouldn't do anything called Elton John.
No.
It'd be odd. Right, this one's called Elton John. 1, 2, 3, 4. Pretty good. Anyway, enjoy it.
Radio X.
Well, we had a good night last night, didn't we, Sons?
We did.
We went to see the Arctic Monkeys, who, frankly...
Oh, they were astounding.
I didn't know they were... I've never seen them before. I didn't know they were bands still capable of doing that.
They're really good, aren't
they? They're unbelievable. And do you know what? They open, it's not brazen, it's just they open. It's not like the Monkeys, like the Stone Roses, you just drift in.
Yeah.
They start with a number, but it's just so, they haven't got to make a big statement, they haven't got to go in with something.
Casual confidence.
It's just really casual, it's just like, oh yeah, you're going to be spending the evening with some musicians.
It's like they're just doing their job, but it happens to be that their job is utterly brilliant.
And it's just so good to see someone who can sing well with a guitar and move and rocks and is that they're just... Oh, I had such a good time. I've always wanted to see them. I took my daughter. I promised for years now. She's always wanted to see them. We met the lads afterwards. Well, we met Alex, which is fantastic.
He was lovely.
He was really good with them. Sons, can I just say, there's one thing, though. You know you say it was a great gig?
Yes.
You spend a lot of time going to the bar, don't you?
How do you know?
Because I was waiting for her to bring the drinks back. And I had to go to the bar and find out where on earth she was.
Yeah,
and I had to help out.
Did you order a drink to wait for Santa to come back with the drinks?
No, that's the thing. She says, we've got problems. She's the only person at the bar.
The bar queue was ridiculous. No, I went the first time to help your mate, didn't I?
Yeah.
Because he went to get the first
round.
Yeah,
and he was like you, squiffy.
Ages.
Yeah,
but he's tall. He gets served.
The second time I went to get the rounds, and then... You turned up.
Yeah, because you've been gone half an hour.
I know, because that's what you got a queue at the bar
for. No, there was no queue. It was just you drinking shots.
It was.
Was there a big line of shot glasses?
No, it was just her lying. It's unbelievable. And then you were taking pictures of my daughter afterwards and you got a bit unsteady on your feet.
I had my heels on.
Yeah. But I didn't. I told her you to look after her and you like fell over and stuff.
I didn't fall over. You're so exaggerating.
I've got a picture of you on the floor.
No, you
took
haven't.
A tumble.
You're exaggerating.
Sons took a tumble taking photographs.
Is the excuse I had my heels on the same as it must have been something I ate?
Yeah, exactly.
Yo, she ate something with those heels on. Good night.
It was a great night. It was unbelievable.
I woke up this morning. I was in such a good mood.
Yeah.
But I feel quite knackered today. Quite weird because we were rocking out.
We were rocking.
God, Gav, they're so good.
I'm really gutted. I missed it. I've seen all the pictures now. And obviously, I follow Dan O'Connell. And I've seen half the gig now just by following his Instagram or his Twitter.
True. It's not true.
The stage set looked brilliant.
It's really 60s.
It kind of looked like a big Vegas lounge, which is, I guess, the idea.
The idea. And then there's this brilliant sort of hexagon comes down, doesn't it, Suns? I don't know if you noticed that. The spaceship. The
was that 20 minutes into the gig?
The hexagonal spaceship.
It's like the front of the Tranquility Base Hotel Casino album cover, and it kind of it moves down throughout the show, and it's really beautiful. And then they've got that where it comes up, says monkeys, and
it comes, says monkeys
above.
At the end. It looks just great. It really does. Honestly, it was my most. The crowd were going bananas. I got a bit of FOMO
being down.
Yeah, I looked there. We were in good seats, really nice seats. Thank you very much to the record company. But I looked down, and I suddenly thought they're just having a laugh, and they're just
going for it.
And they're really mosh. Properly going.
There's two more sold out nights they're doing there, and then the rest of the dates around the country as well.
Nice to see not all seats on the floor, but actually just a bit of a thing going on there.
Yeah,
tremendous night. Thank you very much to Alex and the Monkees.
You've hit a golden streak at the O2. I don't think you've seen a bad gig there, have you?
Looks like it.
So what was it? Led Zepp, AC/DC.
And that golden streak's just going on and on.
This is Radio X. Johnny Vaughan.
Listen to TJ on the 4 till 7 thing.
Sure.
Unlocking the gamma core. Could you do the echoes for me, guys? Because I haven't, TJ's lacking in the sound effects department here. Unlocking the gamma core. No, guys. You go, I go, core. Okay, that's it. But you don't go at the same time. When have you ever heard an echo like you two just then? When have you been in a cave and gone?
Never.
No, you haven't, have you? That's because in caves there aren't two people going core. No. Unlocking the gamma core. That's better. Sunti, you're deliberately undermining it. Okay, you can see TJ's latest video on how to unlock the gamma core. Thank you. No, but don't, because you sound like Bad Crows.
Great name for a band.
Yeah, Bad Crows. Thank you, Gav. It's online now. It's on twitter.com/RadioX. And just see the body. Just enjoy it. Just see me using my body properly.
Yeah.
Had a letter in here. It's from Delta Force Dan. Hi, Delta Force. Just wanted to say you're a real inspiration to me and the boys down at the body shop. Hey. What can I say? Especially over the last few weeks when my body's been hit with some pretty gnarly injuries. Having done too many sissy squats with blood flow restriction last week, my quad literally exploded. Taking your advice, I loaded up on Dynabol. Good gear.
Yeah.
And I was back in the gym, pumping like a good'un. Get this, guys. After just 2 Ds. 2 Ds later.
D's.
2 Ds later. Yeah, D's. We say D's because that's where it is. 2 Ds later, he's back in there, yeah? You know, I thought that would take at least an M to recover, but it's taken just...
That's amazing.
Just 2 Ds. Yeah. The thing is, a few of the guys down here have been ragging on my ass for doing hack squats as part of my recovery. Do you know something? I don't mind the guys at the gym ragging on my ass a bit. It's part of the scene down there, you know?
It's kind of what they do, isn't it? Yeah.
Just hold back, Gav. It's a healthy gym culture that rags. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you're at a gym and everyone's quiet and there's like, oh no, don't say anything, then you're in a jam.
You ain't in a gym.
No.
Yeah.
That's a jam.
Right.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And do you see the difference?
I do.
One is a place you get caught up every day and it just feels sticky. A gym's clean.
Yeah.
Yeah? So go to a gym, not a jam. Sunta?
Yeah.
Go to a gym, not a jam.
Sure.
Gym, not jam.
Christ alive. Do you know something? I need a reaction from you guys. This is Pearls Before Swine. Okay. I don't want them to laugh at me again. What can I do? Listen, a little bit of ragging, that's fine, but I know what you mean. When it goes on for over an hour and you're just pointing and say, little lion man, I'm starting to kick him a bit.
Yeah.
And throw flip-flops at him.
He gets really cross.
And then lock him in the shower cubicle and put it on cold for like 2 hours. That's gone too far, some would say. Anyway, the back squat is, for me, it's the apex squat.
Is it?
Yeah. I love it. For me, it's the loading capacity. I love its complexity. But for me, I'm going to recommend the goblet squat to Dan. It's
short.
It's usually a light load, low intensity movement, but there's nothing stopping using heavy loads to transform this exercise. And I find that that's what makes the goblet squat just
special
squat.
In its
just
way. Yeah,
squat. You know,
right?
Instead of resting after I've done some goblets,
yeah,
I move on to some gobby S's. I move on to a Cybex lying leg curl machine.
Right.
I perform about 30 to 35 sets of 40 reps.
Right. In one go.
I'm not going to come back, am I?
Wow.
I know.
You're mind you, your legs are big at the moment. That's true.
I really can't tell. Honestly.
It's amazing.
No, I've had to, I mean, don't look at the inside of my thighs, but I've had to unpick the seams. And on the inside now, I've got a much cheaper elasticated fabric on the inside of the jeans. I have.
It looks weird.
It does. Well,
you've
got
bulldog legs at the
moment.
I
know. They look
amazing.
A bit weird. Yeah. They look a bit weird. But if I take that off, honestly, it's agony, the chafing.
Yeah, fair enough.
Man.
Yeah.
Anyway, it is agonizing to watch. My legs feel like I've had napalm literally slathered all over them and set on fire.
Right.
But you know what? Train hard, train smart. Don't simply compete.
That's right.
Don't simply complete.
Compete.
Sure.
Don't simply.
Sure.
Sure.
You got to say this over and over again. You know, I had lunch with my mum last week.
Mm.
And because I was on mantra day, that's all she got for 3 hours.
You're kidding.
That's all you said? That's all I said to her, yeah.
I thought you were saying to her, if it ain't bending, you're just pretending.
No, that was another time.
Right.
That's when she didn't. Well, she forgot to pick up my parabolan. Because she gets special dispensation because she's over 80 from
right.
the chemist. I'm getting her to get a lot of the strengthening stuff. Like, for instance, she can get Anadrol like that.
Wow.
Yeah. She can get Durabilin.
Wow.
Like that. Dynabol. Bang. Finer. Bang. NPP or Durabilon.
The lot, bang,
like
in
that.
Other words.
Literally. For nothing. I mean, literally, what you're saying, I'm literally owned by the state, legally. No, I'm just saying.
The legally, NHS is owned.
You look at the NHS right here. Radio X. Can I just say, I'm going to deliver everything I promised these days. That's what I promised Big Side, no matter how long it takes.
Okay.
I said to him, it doesn't matter how much I run over, I'm going to do this material.
Oh, dear.
Little size face.
Okay, I was just talking about Jamie Oliver has changed brands. Who knows what to think? He's gone from Sainsbury's to Tesco, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not about the money, it's because he cares about people.
Yeah, but it's not a seismic shift in the paradigm.
I am being paid, but I do this because I care about people.
Yeah.
I'll tell you now, that's why I've entered the world of advertisements. and Elton John, too. Here's another man who cares about people.
Okay.
In advertisements. The battle between big shots for the best Christmas TV advert has begun after John Lewis unveiled its latest weapon, Elton John. Can I just say, Elton's in a Snickers ad. Anyone can get him.
Yeah.
You know, you've lost John Lewis. And what are you going to do? Have like a little Elton wandering home in the snow? You know what? What?
Oh, I'd like to see that.
Or little Elton all alone on the moon.
Yeah.
Or little Elton.
Or as Santa.
Or as Santa, yeah. Yeah, yeah, it's more like Satan Claus. And what are they going to do? Have him having a hissy fit in a shop because he's got a queue? What are they going to do? You rude vile pigs! Now, what are they going to do?
Can't wait now.
Oh, he's going to be asleep.
I wasn't bothered, but now.
Is he going to be asleep in a little cot?
Yes.
Or is he going to.
He's going to be hiding under the bed.
Or he is.
Being
that,
the monster under
or
the bed.
Or he could be that little penguin, couldn't he?
Yeah.
He could
be the
waddle
penguin.
In. He could just waddle in like a little penguin.
It's less than 15 weeks till Christmas.
Oh, you're a.
Stop it.
Honestly, you're starting to sound like Elton. You're starting to sound just like Elton. Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing. Radio X. Britain, unfortunately, we are no longer Europe's fattest nation.
Oh.
And weirdly. Weirdly, they put Turkey in, which is not even part of Europe.
No, it isn't.
It's not. It's blatantly not. It's a very different sort of place. People sort of make out Turkey's anything European. It's not.
That's strange. We're not number one at this
anymore. No, it's Asia. I know half of it isn't, but come on.
Yeah.
Stop kidding ourselves, guys. I'm just trying to soften the blow. We've been beaten by the Turks at being fat. We're not even the best at that. It's bad enough we're not even the best at English anymore.
That's true, yeah. Or football.
No, nothing we've ever thought of. No, the football, rugby thing, that's something that's
it's been going on forever.
Yeah, that's like,
cricket.
Don't even lock that door. The horse is so gone. I mean, he must just burn the stables, Dave. He's not. I tell you this, he's not coming back.
No.
But we're not the best at English. There hasn't been a decent book written by the English in English for. Well, we're just lucky. Conrad wrote in English, considering he's Polish. Are we ready for this?
Go on.
I've got your top 10 Europe's fattest nations. We're taking out Europe. I mean, we're taking out Turkey because they've won it. They've got 32.1% obesity. Oh, man. So I'm just jealous. Come on, get out there. Load up. So I've got a top. I've got your top 9 now. We're going to play our lads right. You ready? Let's go. Shunts. We'll start off with Andorra. They've got a cheeky 25
Don't
point.
We need to flip a coin?
Sorry, heads or tails?
Heads.
It is heads. Do you want to go first? Your head first. Okay. Right.
If I had a coin for every time we flipped a coin.
Yeah. We'd flip a coin.
I'd have
rather
six,
than just pretending.
Seven coins.
Rather than just pretending.
Yeah.
Andorra.
Andorra.
25.6% of them are obese.
Mm-hmm.
But are there more or less obese people in Turkey's old friend, Greece?
More.
You think?
Higher.
You think the Greeks are more obese than the Andorrans?
Yes.
You're wrong, sir!
No!
Oh, straight over to me.
Okay, Gav.
But they have deep fried cheese.
We know there's no love lost between the Greeks and the Bulgarians, but who is fatter?
The Bulgars versus the Greeks.
Yes.
Wow.
Do you think the Bulgaria higher or lower than Greece?
I'm going to go Greece are more overweight, so Greece are heavier.
Bulgarians are fatter!
You're kidding!
No. Okay. But if we went up against... Okay, if a Bulgarian was hungry, he might eat. But what would you do in Hungary, Gav?
Yes.
Bulgaria versus...
No, it's Sunter.
Bulgaria versus Hungary. Who do you think? Do you think Hungary's higher or lower than Bulgaria?
I think Hungary is lower than Bulgaria.
You think they're less hungry?
Yes.
You're wrong! They're much fatter!
Oh, my God, we're miles.
They're miles.
This could be an imperfect game.
They're one of Europe's fat men. Okay, here we go. We got Hungary here. But...
A chubby Hungarian.
Gav. But would the Maltese take down a Hungarian when it comes to gluttony?
I think the Maltese are heavier than the Bulgarians.
You're absolutely right! Yes. They're very fat!
Oh, no.
They've got a massive 28.9% obesity.
Wow.
In Sunter's motherland.
Yeah.
Okay.
Czech Republic, Gav. Do you think they're fatter or thinner than the Maltese? Higher or lower than the Maltese?
Wow. I'm going to go, the Czechs are not as fat as the Maltese.
You're absolutely right, they're distinctly less fat.
Yes.
Okay.
That's two right ones in a row.
Okay, Czechoslovakia, Czech Republic. But if a man from the Czech decided to visit the Emerald Isle, would he find himself feeling a little bit thinner? Or would he be up against the meat eaters?
It's a lot of meat and potatoes.
There's a lot of meat and potatoes.
I'm going to go the Irish are slightly chubbier.
Okay. The Irish are distinctly thinner, but...
Is there a chance for me to steal it here?
Yeah,
chance, chance for Sun to steal. Ireland, Lithuanians, fatter or thinner than the Irish?
Thinner.
They're fatter!
Oh, my goodness.
Gav, it's just now down to you. Okay. If we're taking a swag around Lithuania...
Yeah.
Sorry. United Kingdom.
Yeah.
If a Lithuanian is swaggering around the United Kingdom... Is he feeling thinner or fatter than the true Brit?
I think we Brits have got to be slightly heavier than the Lithuanian.
If the British are more obese than the Lithuanians...
That's what I'm saying.
You've won these tight jeans.
Excellent news.
They are, Gav!
Yes!
Britain coming in there with 27% obesity.
Wow.
Well done.
Radio X. Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
Okay, I've got something new for you to be terrified about.
What?
Oh, good.
Yeah, something new and terrifying. There's a new disease in town, and it's called monkeypox.
Oh, God.
Yes, there's monkeypox. Needless to say, it starts off with flu-like symptoms.
Always.
Yeah.
And develops into something horrible.
If you, but if you've got flu and there's flu around it, I don't know. It started with flu-like symptoms. What is it? And you can't say, well, flu? Because it might not be.
It could be swine
at
flu.
That stage. No, that stage. It could be. What's it called? What's the one you get from ticks? Lyme's disease.
Lyme's disease.
That's notorious for starting with flu-like symptoms. Anyway, I don't know. My legs are all achy. I feel like all a bit. My head's a bit. Could be anything.
Yeah, it could be anything.
It could be anything.
We need to wait until it gets really horrible before we tell you it's not flu.
It's just a question of how bad the news is. Yeah. Now you start feeling like that.
Probably not flu, even if you feel like you've got flu.
No, it won't be. It might be monkeypox.
Go on then.
I hope monkeypox.
Monkeypox.
I hope one of the symptoms of monkeypox is that you just feel like incredibly randy. Is there a disease like that?
No. There's not.
And that's the trouble.
You're so childish.
No, but that's the trouble. Childish. That's the trouble with monkeypox. We've lost another one. No,
acute friskiness.
He can't stop going on about stuff. From when he was, I don't know, a teenager, and he's going on about weird things, and he started talking about some game show host.
We've had swine flu and bird flu, haven't we?
Yes, but
never had monkeypox.
No, but monkeypox makes people feel, I think, very, very sexual.
Do you think so?
I don't know. Stop it.
Not mischievous.
Seriously, mischievous.
Doesn't make you want to throw stuff the whole time.
Oh, I love that. Shouting boo. Yeah. A second case of monkeypox has been diagnosed in Britain as the tropical disease spreads from Nigeria.
Oh, God, it sounds terrible.
No, the latest patient became ill in Blackpool after a visit to Nigeria. Apparently he was going mad in the bingo hall.
Right.
With all the old ladies and stuff, because he was, you know.
So what other diseases? What's next? Tiger mumps?
Tiger mumps. Wasp flu.
Wolf measles.
Wolf measles.
A cat cold.
That's very good. Very good. Over the weekend, another person believed to be gorilla's dropsy. I've got. Over the weekend, another person believed to be a Nigerian naval officer became ill on a navy base in Cornwall and was transferred to the Royal Free in London. The two cases are believed to be unconnected, but the risk of the virus actually spreading is quite low. But it's not something to be... They're shivering.
No.
Spider rickets.
Let's leave it at that. Spider rickets. You just think they're shivering.
Radio X. Johnny Vaughan.
Martin, the Radio X office, had a broken hot tap for over 4 years, which inspired our feature...
Martin's hot tap. He needs a brand new one, but he can't be asked to get it done. Martin's hot tap, been broken for so long. But what haven't you fixed that went wrong?
Nice. Right. And that's all we need. The point is unlike you, they can say, yeah, I've sung on national radio. Yeah. No, I've had a tune on national radio.
Yeah, the first tune we did, we got airtime off.
No, we're just on that. Yeah, what's that amazing indie music station? Radio X, that's it. Yeah, one. No, we had some stuff on there. Anyway, you might want to get like a ukulele out. That's what I'm looking for, a good ukulele combo band.
That'd be great.
That'd be awesome. If you want to sing the Martin's Hot Tap theme, send your effort to johnny@radiox.co.uk. I won't touch that, big Si will.
Do you know who that was?
What?
It was the gang at SJ Insurance Brokers.
I think we knew that, Gav. It's pretty obvious with the voice.
Did you?
Of course I knew.
Did
that.
You think that?
I was going to say, well, yeah. I mean, you know, if it's a new artist and a new tune, I always name check it.
Well, they can't even have us on in the office, but everyone listens via their phones and computers. So hello, everyone at SJ Insurance Brokers.
Hello, SJ Insurance Brokers.
Hello, everyone.
What does the SJ stand for?
83936.
So it's actually Simon Jones. No, it's not that interesting, actually. It's actually Stephen Jarvis Insurance. Funny enough, people ask us that all the time, but it's not interesting. Like so much of our work. As the song says, we're after all those things that you can't be asked to fix. Not only are we celebrating your apathy, but also your ingenuity. Hashtag MHD, hashtag CBA can't be asked. I'm going to ask Gav for the first one.
Yeah.
In the sure and certain hope that I get the best one at the end.
Okay.
Go on, Gav.
Okay, this one's from Steve. He's an expat living in New Zealand. He says, when I was 12, we had a white portable Pye TV, P-Y-E.
Remember. I've got my granny's Pye in the attic.
Right, cool.
Oh, no, sorry. It's my granny's Bush.
That's
sorry.
Right, different make.
Yeah, she died. She died watching that Bush.
Did she?
Yeah, wow. I've got my granny's Bush in the attic.
So Steve says, when I was 12, we had a white portable Pye TV in the kitchen. The push button didn't stay in on its own.
No.
To keep it turned on, the button had to be held in with a 7-pound iron weight.
I love the exact same. Wow. You need 7 pounds, else the telly will move back. It's
who's weighing something that weighs 7 pounds?
Well, he's got the 7-pound weights from the kitchen. You're absolutely right.
Seven pounds.
Well, he's got to be quite a mover
of
like
a lot of jam.
It's a lot of lamb chops. A very lot of lamb chops.
It's a lot. Well, I must have sat down and I sat down last night about one or two dozen lamb chops.
Just as a snack.
I just sat down in front of Magnificent Seven.
So Steve had this 7-pound iron weight holding the TV button in for, from the age of 12.
7 pounds.
From the age of 12, and it stayed like that until the TV stopped working when he was 16.
Nice. Okay. Sunta, what's Gemma from Northampton? Aguamwit.
Gemma says, due to an over-enthusiastic six-year-old, my towel rail came off the bathroom wall about 2 years ago. Instead of getting it fixed, I simply borrowed my husband's stepladder.
Nice!
Works perfectly.
Of course it does.
Small towels on the bottom.
Beautiful.
Big ones on the top.
Just beautiful.
How'd you heat up the stepladder, though?
I see. You know, you put candle at the bottom.
That's a brilliant idea.
Or just put it in the fire.
Just a naked flame.
Just light a little fire in you.
Nice.
Okay, ready for this? This is Paul in West Houghton. Thank you so much, Paul. It's probably West Houghton. This is... Okay, what are you about to hear, yeah? Mm. I don't want to say that Big Si has heard my pleas and given me the best one, but there is a slight case that Big Si has heard my pleas and given me the best one. Here we go. And what you're about to hear is so lazy. And here's the things I look for. It shows no need for any kind of aesthetic charm at all. No. It's just functional and it doesn't distract us now. Literally, it's like what you're about to hear is the equivalent in interiors of an ostrich burying its head in the sand.
Oh, brilliant.
Okay, you ready for this? And at the end of this, I'll tell you what they'd have done with it instead of burying the head in the ground. Ready for this? 3 years ago, me and the missus moved into a house. There was a black curtain pole. It had mismatched silver ends, okay?
Okay.
Anything else, right? Mismatched silver ends. You can sort of live with it. But it just was obviously really annoying them. You know, just like something not quite going like that.
Yeah.
I couldn't be asked to paint them. So I just put a black dog poo bag over each end. Can you imagine that on a curtain pole?
Oh,
just
no.
Just a curtain pole with a poo bag on either end.
Oh.
That is so lazy.
I hope they were new ones.
But how is that an improvement on
it's
a
not.
Mismatched silver?
No. But here's the and here's the key.
I thought tin foil was going to come into it.
No. But you ready for this? Here's the rub.
Okay.
You ready? I thought something like nail varnish. Yeah. So really, I love when people go into makeup bags to do stuff or sort of spray paint for Christmas. Are you ready for this?
Go on.
So there's a black dog poo bag over each edge. But here's Paul's payoff. From a distance, the problem is solved.
From a distance.
Radio X.
Great news. And I never thought I'd be saying this, but you've got to slightly give it to the trolls here. Because yesterday, Kirsty Allsop did that dreadful thing, like talking about how I told my children not to flex. And Kirsty Allsop is not someone who's I admire. Not because of any reason. She is a big reason. She's a state agent.
Yeah, it's a good point.
Right. Well, I don't mind a stage agent per se, but when you see her on that show saying, I think this house is lovely, and she's taking people around places she genuinely doesn't even have her poorest friend living there.
No, she wouldn't even knock it down for a bit of extra garden.
And it's like, no, but it's perfect for people like you.
Yeah.
You know, normally they're very careful with estate agents. They keep them on roughly the same rung of the punters.
Right, so no one looks like they're being talked down
to. So if you're looking for a one-bedroom flat, chances are the estate agent showing you around in London or whatever is actually
a young person.
They're on that level. They're sort of on one or two-bedroom flats. They generally don't keep it, you know, that's just how it works out.
Yeah.
As you move up the order of estate, because you're getting like tipped off about good properties, you're able to make your money. And so by the time you're showing punters around like big houses, you've got a bit of a gaff.
Right.
Kirsty Allsop, exception to that, of course, because it's a TV programme.
Yeah.
So she's showing people places that she wouldn't dream of living in towns she wouldn't be seen dead in. And ever since I've watched her doing that, I found her really... Then I started becoming fixated on her buttons.
Why?
Because they're just big and stupid.
Has she got big buttons?
Always on her, that's her trademark, huge buttons. Then I found out she's like...
Like a giant toy maker has made her.
Yes, yes. Then I found out she just is like, doesn't live in any kind of real world.
Right.
Then I sort of suddenly realised that she's probably got lots of private businesses and things, and it's really sort of got that frugal Sue thing that Aristos have got.
She does crafts.
Yes, exactly right.
Yeah.
Crafting.
Anyway, she was boasting how she caught her children... on their iPads, and she smashed them both.
Yeah.
She smashed two iPads. We had made all sorts of rules and all sorts of times when we said you can't play them, and all those rules got broken. And then I said, right, that's it. I have to physically break them. Anyway, the good news is, I'm not sure she did physically break them. I hope she was lying as well. Mm. But she's had such abuse on Twitter, she's shut down a Twitter account this morning. So well done. It's a massive achievement. What should we do next?
I wonder what those kids are getting for Christmas this year.
Yeah.
Two new iPads, maybe?
But I just think it's sort of, it's what Ellis and John talk about, isn't it? It's sort of real shallow boasting.
Yes,
it's a real humble brag.
Is she showing off there?
Yeah, she is, definitely. I just smashed
them. She's saying, I don't spoil my kids.
I'm surprised everyone doesn't smash the things they work hard for. Yeah. I mean, who'd want to be one of the Allsop kids, frankly? You know, those kids are just always getting rollicking.
And they never get
and
any
their mums
break.
Mums can't be asked to wipe their noses. We just all look at sort of crusted snot. I can't. It's hectic at the moment. Those sort of middle class mums, and it's all going wrong. No, I'm having a terrible day. Why? Because I haven't got any staff.
I've still got 5 items to return at the clothing store.
I can't. And how am I meant to return things to the white company, which is where they always go?
They've sent me the wrong blend of coffee beans.
Why don't you move in to the white company?
John Lewis. Yeah.
Yes, perhaps Peter Jones opposite. Anyway, the thing is, she previously made headlines when she spoke about travelling in business class while her children travelled in economy. It's you, is it?
Yeah, dumping the noise on everyone else.
It's the most selfish thing. Tarrant did it as well. Look how Toby turned up.
Yeah, good point.
Do you want that?
Yeah.
Do you want a nation of little
Is
Toby
Is that
Tarrant?
What you want, Kirsty?
Is that what you want, Kirsty? A nation turning out like Toby Tarrant? I don't. They come to our radio station. They take our women.
Think on, Allsop.
Think on, Tarrant. No, I'm just saying. Kirsty Allsop, yeah?
Yeah.
She just leaves her kids in the corner while she's just lovely, really having a lovely time in business class. She's got her kids just driving everyone mad, because they will do.
That's right.
Because they're little upper-class kids.
And she's taken away their iPads, so they will be making trouble.
Yeah, they're now in economy with nothing to
with
entertain.
With no iPad,
and
yeah.
And mum up front.
Yeah.
Oh, cheers. A right little pearler you are. You're a right pearler.
Radio X. Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
Hey, guys.
What?
It's so weird. Okay, have you heard of Jane O'Gorman?
No.
No?
Jane O'Gorman. She's like, well, she writes... Okay.
Is it like a politics page or
no,
something?
No, it's not. It's in the Star. It's in the Daily Star newspaper.
Right.
Which is a newspaper in the UK.
That's like a financial...
Is it right near the back?
Yeah, there's a lot of financial stuff in there. Yeah. There's no doubt about it.
Is it right near the back of the paper
chat
on
lines.
Page 6?
Chat lines and things like that. Things that cost money.
Yeah.
But... Well, look, people write to her, how can I explain it, with sort of love problems or personal problems.
Oh, she solves, like, issues.
Yes.
Right.
She's like...
Right. You write to her, you got an issue, you just write in.
Yes, but she gives...
Anonymously.
Yes, she gives... Exactly right. You've got it. I mean, it's not...
I think they Rocky's call it...
Problem manager, I think.
Problem agony, manager. Agony aunt.
Yeah. I'll tell you something, that's quite a good idea. They should go with that.
Yeah, they should.
But anyway... It's a very long answer she's given. Let me just give it. I'd have done a much shorter answer. Here we go. Dear Jane, my partner has never said he loves me. When we have nookie, he often has a faraway look in his eye, as if he's not really in the moment. Anytime I ask him what the future holds, he says, I haven't got the foggiest. Ah. But... cleave to him, he'll come round to your way of thinking.
Radio X.
Kim Jong-un, the Jong-in.
Kim Jong-in.
The Jong-in. I don't like Kim, he's a Jong-in. Anyway, he celebrated the 70th anniversary of North Korea's founding. And what a thing to celebrate.
The 70th.
I mean, 70 glorious years.
Unbelievable.
Shall I tell you something? All that ever happens in the wake of any conflict in the Far East... Is you're just reassured that actually, it doesn't matter how unpopular America or anything were at the time, looking back.
Yeah.
Well, would you want to live under one of those regimes?
No, I wouldn't.
I certainly wouldn't. You know what I mean?
70 glorious years.
I wouldn't like to live under Ho Chi Minh.
No.
Or Pol Pot.
None of them.
None of them.
They're not fun guys.
No, they're not fun guys.
They just
aren't.
And
neither is this guy. But everyone made out the America was like the bad guys for interfering in Far East sort of foreign policy back then. And I went along with that because of all the, you know, Vietnam and all that. Well, it's a terrible thing. You look at you thinking, Christ. maybe they were right. I mean, I saw a program about Vietnam the other day going, now there are shopping centres open with branches of Gucci, Prada. And you're thinking, right, which is probably what the Americans wanted way back then.
Exactly.
So, right, we've come back to that, have we? Anyway, the two-hour event. So they had an enormous parade of military strength that pointedly did not include the long-range nuclear missiles. That must have been a real disappointment there.
It must have,
without those puppies to come out to play. I mean, it really is.
That's the showstopper, isn't it?
It's just like at sports day and they just decide to show off the high jump.
That's
which is
it,
like, that new mat cost all the money.
Yeah.
And the new bar and stuff. And
got to show the nukes.
You've got to show the new stuff off.
Even if they're just cardboard versions.
Yes. Gav, we're on the same page here. Don't you think those students, if you went to North Korea and you went to the big parade.
Yeah.
I'd feel a bit shortchanged.
Without RCBMs. RCBMs.
Kind of the reason you're there,
isn't
it? Of course
it is. Absolutely, you're so right, Santa. The two-hour event, oh, man.
2 hours?
2 hours? Apparently, it's all that marching.
Apparently it flew by.
Did it?
Yeah. The two-hour event, despite the heat, it flew by.
They've got those big hats and they do that stiff leg march, don't they?
Yes. And they always do it looking over their shoulder.
Oh, is that right?
They always look at the...
Eyes right. You only do that when you're just passing the podium.
They always
see... Eyes right! The command given on the left.
I think it's like when pigeons are worrying about raptors. They always look back, slightly behind them.
Yeah. They've got pigeon neck.
Yeah.
Quarry neck.
Yeah.
Anyway, the two-hour event featured artillery, tanks, thousands of soldiers, but not the missiles that have got that cheeky potential to take out South Korea, Japan, and even mainland United States.
They're such wags.
The absence of the weapons, which were wheeled out in parades last year, very suggests, despite faltering progress in negotiations with the US, Mr. Kim is avoiding open defiance. I'm disappointed, actually. If I was him, I'd have had twice the number of last year. Just to
blow a raspberry.
Just to really sort of say, what's going on there?
Yeah, what is going on?
More.
And I thought this was all over.
And new designs. And miniature ones. And guys with suitcases. Just walking past, just holding up suitcases like, ah!
With nuclear symbols on
them. Yeah, right. Poison. Anyway, Mr. Trump did declare earlier in the year there's no longer a nuclear threat from North Korea. Just because it's not a nuclear threat doesn't mean we can't see some nukes going past in a parade.
Yeah, exactly.
Because that's what I call, that's very much good fun.
It is, yeah.
Okay, well, when did we ever see our money's worth?
Exactly, we never do.
At least your Korean taxpayer gets to see where his cash is going. Did we ever see a nuke? No. Do we ever get a decent parade like that? No. And that's why spending in this country is going down. Because the parades they do is stuff, they look like they're on the way to Waterloo. I don't mean the station.
Radio X. Johnny Vaughan.
We're still on the hunt for the world's greatest nickname. So far, we've discovered Fergus, whose uncle enjoys a tipple. He gets called the Exorcist because when he leaves your house, there are no spirits left. I love that.
That's great.
I've got a couple of mates like that. In fact, I think you know when particularly your partner's drinking too much.
Why?
When every time you leave a house, you're having to leave cash. Do you know what I mean?
For restocking purposes.
No, literally, because, you know, if it's like we stayed up, you know, like one person will go to bed.
Yeah.
And then a few people stay up. Go, right, I'm going to bed now. And they'll literally just drink you out of the home.
The whole lot.
Yeah, and you know, if you come down in the morning and there's cash there, you know they've been
guilty. It means your stores are like the Gobi Desert.
Yeah, right. Anyway, Andy's boss, who they call the seagull, because he flies around the office in a bit of a flap and steals food. I think I'm quite like that here.
That's a brilliant one.
Yeah, and Sarah's line manager, she's named Photo Finish. He's named Photo Finish because he walks his head in front of his body like he's dipping for the tape in a 100-metre race. Thank you so much. Keep them coming into 83936 or tweet at Radio X. I have to stress this. Make sure you include an explanation.
Otherwise, it's just a name,
for God's sake. Gav, what you got from Matt in London?
Matt says, my group of mates met at Freshers Week over a decade ago.
Wow.
Unfortunately for him, when we met Welsh Hugh, there was already another Hugh in the group. So he got the name Hugh too. And to this day is known as Bono.
That's genius. That is absolute genius.
Thanks, Matt.
Wait a second. Look, can I speak to little Simon? Because we laughed a lot that. Simon, yeah. I better have the best one this week. It's the last couple of weeks.
Because that was quite a good one. Yeah, straight in with a good one.
I think
No, but the idea, you know, there's a sense that people are trying to share them out and stuff. I don't care about that. I just want to have the best one.
Best one, right. I'll do that for next week.
Oh, let's see what you've done this week. Hi, Suns. What you got for us?
This has come in from Butty in Cheam.
Hi, Butty.
Who says, we have a friend called Frank who doesn't shut up after a few beers. We call him Frankie DeStory.
Oh, it's good. Okay, that's two.
Those are great. That's two whoppers, aren't they?
Two really good ones.
Yeah, I set the standard a bit higher, haven't I?
Well, let's go into this. If this isn't really funny. If
is this where Little Si gets his revenge finally?
God. No, if mine's the weakest, you're in trouble. I'm not being funny. I'm not going to be the weakest link. This is from Ian in Fife. Thank you so much, Ian. I'm sure this is great. Hi, Johnny and the team. Not Little Si. Thanks, Ian. A mate of mine, who was quite a hairy guy, used to work at a well-known high street phone shop. He became known as the car phone werewolf.
That's a really
that's
good
that's
one.
Really good. Okay, thank you, Simon. Really that's okay. One. It's okay. We can do it. I mean,
car phone werewolf.
I know, but on the page it wasn't funny. It's just because the timing, Gavin. The timing was... No, it's because Ian in Fife furnished us with an absolute beauty. Thank you to Matt, Butty and Ian for all three of our nicknames this week. Keep them coming into 83936 or tweet at Radio X. Please make sure you include an explanation.
Otherwise, it's just a name!
Radio X.
Guys, at last, the smart trouser is here. They've invented smart trousers.
What, as in what, smart looking?
No, it's like a smartphone.
Like a gentleman's slack.
No, the trouser is made of a very thin, like a Teflon screen.
Oh, yeah.
And it can be any trousers you want. So you put these on and you can just fiddle around at the top.
Oh, and they can be houndstooth or tweed or whatever
tweed
you want, right?
Or jeans.
Yes. Or leather trousers,
it's like
maybe.
A cloth.
That's mind-blowing.
I've made it up. I've made up. There's no product like that.
Oh. I want those trousers.
Because I was thinking you get a jacket and you sort of think, yeah, maybe I'll have a blazer and some cords. No.
1 minute stockbroker, next minute biker.
Yeah. No, yeah, exactly right. No. A morning suit. No. A bridal gown. Anyway, if you find yourself struggling to get up from the living room armchair, it's actually a lot more serious than that.
Okay, go on.
But seriously... If you find yourself struggling to get up from the living room armchair, do you?
I don't, yeah. Well, sometimes I have to give it two goes.
If I'm fair to you, my son's 15. He seems to.
Yeah, you have to get that rocking action going sometimes, just to roll yourself up.
We all struggle to get up from armchairs. Man was not designed to be in armchairs. The armchairs, evidently sitting at that level is a new thing.
That's right, yeah.
If you find yourself struggling to get up from the living room armchair, which means yes, that's us, all of us.
Yep.
It could be time to upgrade your trousers. British scientists are developing smart trousers containing artificial muscles to keep elderly people mobile for longer, ensure few of us have to rely on wheelchairs and mobility scooters. They're called the Wright trousers, named in honour of Wallace and Gromit. But this is just brilliant.
I think it's brilliant.
But TJ, and this is, I'm putting my TJ hat on here.
Yeah.
I'd like them the other way around.
How?
To make it harder to get up.
Yeah.
So you've got to like really work those muscles.
Oh, to work it. Yeah.
And if you did that, you wouldn't need the help later. You have the trouser that provide. You know, sometimes, even when I take the dog for a walk, you know I'm always walking with a tractor tire behind me, chained around my waist.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
And now in the walk with Jeff just sitting, because I've built a slight little dog bed in there, so I finish just by walking home with the dog in the bed at the back.
Sure.
People think it's mad, but I'll show them. Sure. And
those idiots
out there. But I always do, even though I'm going to Sainsbury's, I'll tie the tractor tire up outside. That's how you know I'm in there on the dog bits, and no one nicks my tractor tire.
No one's going to nick your tractor tire. You've got to be strong.
You'd be surprised. There is two farms in Wandsworth. But
I'm sensing a pattern here. We've got low numbers in the military at the moment.
Yep.
In terms of personnel.
Yeah,
we also have a growing aging population.
Yep.
These trousers.
Exactly.
Military
right,
research.
Off we read about the Russians with their intelligent ones last
week. We're going to have regiments of pensioners.
Don't, Gav.
Angry pensioners who are going to take the enemy's hands off.
That's the thing. And they wear like combat wigs.
That's right.
It's like a helmet, but it looks like a wig.
Definitely.
Like an old lady.
It's
like
a blue scarf, rinse,
a blue rinse helmet.
Yeah,
it's bulletproof.
Yeah.
Bullets just pinging.
Kevlar
pinging,
headscarves.
Pinging off her curls. No, they just permanently wear the hairdryer.
I'll take your hands off.
They just wear the hairdryer into battle, Gav. I'd like to see their hands cut off. I have sighted the enemy. Remove their hands.
I'll have a bloody good word with them.
What's in the lorry? We've got a lorry load of hands there. We've taken them from the enemy. I'd like to see their hands cut off.
Here, anyway, you soldiers, come out of there.
Anyway, I would like a trouser that maybe if we had trousers that were a bit more of a workout wearing them, we wouldn't have to have these ones that help you later, because it'd be like, when I take that tractor tire off when I get home, the rush I get of freedom, the rush!
Radio X. Johnny Vaughan's 4 till 7 thing.
Amazon admitted they've had a bad idea, but it's too late.
What was it?
Oh, just cages for their workers to go in.
What for?
Well, get this. Amazon is not planning, they're now saying. No, we're not. We might have put a patent in for it. We're not.
They're denying it now.
No, they put a patent into the patent office.
For what?
Cages.
Why?
They've now admitted that cages for workers was a bad idea. I should go.
What was the purpose of the cage?
Ready? System and method for transporting personnel within an active workspace. They've got these special cages. And do you know why?
Why?
Because it'll protect them from, well, here you go, the patent documents describe a wheeled cage. It'd be used to move staff, such as maintenance workers, safely across warehouses to avoid injury by Amazon's 100,000 robot workers.
Ah, so if some robot goes wrong because they're in the cage, they'll be protected. But it is like Gladiator, isn't it?
No, it's not. Amazon increasingly uses robots to move stock around the enormous... Sorry, Gav, it's not. There's nothing... A man in a cage and robots is not Gladiator.
They move them around in caged carriages in Gladiator.
Well, a bit, Gav, but it's not like an Amazon warehouse.
No, that's true.
Yeah. I mean, Gav, listen...
You can't order a lion on Amazon,
Gav, I'll go with you on any flight of fancy, but it's not.
Go on.
A man in a cage in an Amazon warehouse... Looking around for robots.
It's not like Gladiator. No.
Moving around to repair robots. That's not. There was never that bit in Gladiator. Again.
True.
I mean, I love you.
True.
And I'll go with any flight of fancy. But sometimes, just to keep going, what I've got to do.
Go on.
I can't get distracted by your whimsy, Gav. I mean, I could start again, and we could go that way.
Go on.
Okay. Russell Crowe. The Amazon River. Are you ready for this? Amazon increasingly uses robots to move stock around the enormous... And they're not warehousing centres, they're fulfillment centres.
Fulfillment centres?
I don't know why. Automatically,
now
it's just
I'm
evil.
Terrified.
I know,
yeah,
of course
I'm
you are.
Terrified.
You have been sent to a fulfillment centre.
You are happy.
You are happy here in your fulfillment centre. Please go to centre 894, where a robot will take you to your cage.
If you are unfulfilled, you will die.
Your cage is waiting to transport you safely. Goodbye. Anyway, I do that sometimes, exactly. If I answer the phone, I just really regret answering the phone. I've got a landline at home.
Going to robot voice.
No, I do. If you'd like to speak to John, press 1 now. If you don't want to speak to John, but you're here to... Okay, here we go. The patent explains, by coordinating movement of the human transport device with the movement of the mobile drive units, that's robots.
MDUs.
Yeah, MDUs. The productivity of the floor is minimally disrupted. The point about it is, the patent says the cages could be used to move workers who are needed to repair failed robots or tidy up inventory that's fallen on the floor. So they're still going to get humans to do that. Tidy up after robots. Is that where we fit in?
Robots are supposed to be slaves, aren't they?
Yes, that's what robot means.
But now you're going to end up with people that are slaves to robots.
Yes, fixing them and clearing up their mess.
Oh my God.
You will stop work and wait for a human to clear that up. You know?
Wow.
Gav, it's really frightening. Should I tell you what's really bad about it?
It's genuinely frightening.
We're going to end up living in cages. I can just imagine Sigourney Weaver in one, literally at the end of the world.
Yeah.
Just in one of these cages. And do you know the only thing that's going to protect them?
What?
In these vast warehouses, there will be rats.
Oh,
and rats can chew through cable. And I can tell you now, that will be what saves humanity. Is a plague of rats will chew through the wires, and that's the only thing that'll stop the robots going. And we'll train them up, Gav. We're going to start that now in your place.
Sounds really exciting. Cyborg rats.
Let's do it, Gav. Let's do it.
Radio X.
You're never going to believe what's on the decline already. And
what?
I was amazed by this. More than... It made me strangely sad. I don't know why.
What?
But more than 500 cash machines are closing every month.
Oh, wow.
Like, you mean like pubs?
They're like pubs, Gav.
Why?
Well, I
no
think...
No one uses cash anymore.
Gav, and there's a relationship between the two, isn't there?
There kind of is, yeah.
Pubs are cash. A cashy sort of place, aren't they?
That's right.
No, not the ones I go to.
I know. Oh, no, come on. Still, when you hand over a credit card at a pub, you feel a bit
when
like
we went
pubs.
Out the other night, I did notice that before we got out to go and see Arctic Monkeys, you stopped to get some cash because that's what you do when you're going out.
Yeah.
And then did you notice there, they were all... No cash bars. They were all card-only bars.
Okay, right. So one, it's but look at me. Did you notice they were all cash-only bars?
But that's why no one's using cash machines.
But why did you use almost Captain Kirk-like intonation?
Because it was an important point to make.
but when we went out, the bars were cash-only.
A
bars.
Point well made, Sunter.
The bars were cash-only.
Are card-only.
For how long, Spock? For how long? Okay, ready for this, guys. More than 500 cash machines are closing every month after changes to the way banks pay for the network. That's why.
Oh.
The reductions increase concern over customers' ability to get access to their money.
Their money.
I want my money!
Keep it under the mattress
always.
If you want access to it.
Definitely.
But particularly in isolated areas where people might need their money suddenly because they're isolated and some men might arrive on horseback. Demanding money. They might tap with their whips on the shutters.
To not have access to your money.
And they won't take no for an answer, and they won't mind that all the doors are locked and barred.
Yeah.
Give me your money! And they can see the firebrands outside, and they realise they're going to get torched.
Right. Can you get a suede pouch of coins out of a cash machine?
I'd love that.
I'd love that, Gav.
If a hand came out and dropped it into your hand.
Yes. No, just open. They were just there in a velvet box.
Guineas.
It opened like a treasure box. Gav, it's just like a treasure box. You open.
Bring the guinea back.
Yeah. That's what Cashpoint needs.
Definitely.
When your cash is ready, your card comes out and a lid just opens. And there amid the velvet is just coins. And actually, if you like...
glinting in the sunlight.
Glinting in the... But the thing is, you don't have to take them out. You can just lift them up and think, my money. And then you can pop them shut and just put it back
and
in the cash
back, yeah.
Just give it. It knows what you'd have taken.
That's what the cash machines should be for from
yes.
now on.
Yeah, they should be. You should just get a big... Well, a little treasure chest comes out.
Yes.
And it opens. And there's a few of the pouches, but a few monies are on top. And you can just... You can literally... People are saying, hurry up, you go, all right, I'm just feeling my money.
With a gold light on your face.
Yes. But you just let the gold run through your fingers for a while. People are going, hurry, I want to do that in a second, I want to do it with my money. You're going, please, just another minute. They go, go on then. And he's looking at it. And then you just choose to take about 5 guineas.
Yeah.
But the machine would know by weight.
That's
what
right,
you take
yeah.
and it ticks your shuts and goes back.
And a little pouch would come out for
you.
You
get that sense of, also, all your money comes out.
Yeah.
Always in a cash void. Everything.
How much of your money would you like?
Yeah, everything. Even if you get an overdraft facility, just briefly, just for that moment. So I'm going to get an overdraft of 1,000. Why you don't need it? No, I just want to feel another 1,000.
Believe in it. I just want to believe
it. I just want a bigger coffer.
Radio X. Johnny Vaughan.
I've just put a bandana on. Guys, what do you think?
I don't...
No, it's just a lot of the guys at the gym are doing it now.
It's...
What? Not working with the glasses?
No. What? Let's
wrong
look at
colour.
The back. Let's look at the back. Ah, yes.
You look like you play bass in a prog rock band.
Yeah. And that you had a...
Let's move on. Okay, here we go. It's time for our pet segment. Where's that bandana's gone? That wasn't... It was just a joke. Time for our pet segment. Every show needs one. Talkies! Walkies! Wookies! Who's giving a walk? It's walkie time!
So naughty.
I've just put up, in honour of talkies, on my Instagram site, on my Instagram webpage, Johnny_Vaughan66. That's my webpage. Is that, if my Instagram is that a .com? Can I say I've got a .com?
No. No.
Isn't it? Can I say I've got Johnny_Vaughan66.com?
No, you
no.
can't.
What can I say?
You have an Instagram page. Johnny_Vaughan66.
That's not a website.
No.
No.
Oh, I've been telling people I've got a website now.
Okay.
I better change that.
It was so easy, wasn't it?
My kids were looking. I think that's really easy to set that up. Is that not a website?
No.
All right. Okay. Fair enough. I haven't got a website. Sorry. If I've told you that the last week, I was lying. And don't look for it.
Every
anymore.
Time you put a picture up, you are web designing. You're designing your website.
I might.
You are a web designer.
I put filters on. Is that
you're in the tech industry.
Am I in the tech game?
Right.
I didn't know that. Well, from techies to talkies. And they... Oh, come on, guys. That deserved a lot more.
It was
more
all right.
No, that's just, this time, let's do a round of applause after I do a tenuous link. You ready? Well, let's leave techies to one side for a moment and switch back to talkies. Thank you. Thank you very much. When was the last time you had to sit down and have serious words with your dog, cat, parrot or lizard? Last time we heard how Ian had to give his Jack Russell a stiff talking to across a busy pub garden, he had to shout, Florence, can you please not sit on the pétanque balls? Sorry, the pétanque balls. I have a bulldog named Jeff. I talk to him as if he's a human. Do you know what the one I was caught doing the other day?
What?
It's really bad. I was coming out the flat and I got neighbours obviously come past. And I was just leaning in, and I've just got a new sofa. You know, I'm incredibly proud of it.
Yeah.
And I went and bought a blue tarpaulin.
Yeah.
For when I'm out.
To like stop now. Him chewing it to pieces.
No, just stop him just getting stuff. So I actually went and bought a blue tarpaulin. Yeah. It's really cheap.
Yeah,
the
they are.
Bang
yeah.
for your buck you get down the iron mug. It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's like cover my whole flat. It was only a quid. Fantastic.
I mean, that must look amazing.
It doesn't have
the same feel as cotton, though.
No, it really doesn't. No, but John C. Larry's, I came back, he just got right underneath it.
Did he?
I just see this lump in the middle of it. No, he's thinking, what if I laid it on like those sort of tubes that those sheepdogs go through at Crufts?
Yeah.
Like, you know, amuse yourself.
It's a tent.
Anyway, when I was last leaving, I left him in I had to style it out and make out there was a person in the house. I shouted at the door, don't let me have to explain it again, Jeff. And the neighbour walked past going like that. I go, I'll be back about 6 anyway, darling. Sort of did the rubbishest style out. Suns, what have you got?
This is coming from Jenna, who says, when cleaning our cat's litter tray, my husband, being watched by our beloved kitty, got particularly annoyed by the smell. He turned to her and said, how would you like it if I made you clean my poo while I watched? I remind him of this daily.
While I watched.
How would you
a
like it?
Just
asking any pets, how would you like it? It's just fantastic.
Yeah.
Gav.
This one's from Lisa in Mitcham. She says, my dear old dementia dog, Bodger, has all sorts of ailments.
Oh.
Recently, his insurance went up by 400%.
No!
I looked at him and I said, wow, you'll have to work for your money now. With that, he looked at me, farted and burped at the same time and walked away.
Nice, I love that.
Thanks, Lisa.
Aww. Okay, ready for this. That's a lovely one, Lisa.
Jeez.
This is from Tim. Thank you very much indeed, Tim. Dear Johnny, I think I've got the world's grumpiest rabbit. Whenever I see friends' children playing with their pets, I'm always jealous. They seem to have a connection that my kids just don't have with Sniffy.
Sniffy!
It all came to a head a few days ago when I found myself saying, why don't you pretend you love me as much as you love cabbage? I'll tell you something, Tim. It's a sad day when you're telling a cat to pretend.
You can't be that needy.
No, you can't.
To a pet.
You can't look at a
pet
and
sense
it's like,
it.
Oh, come on, once more with feeling.
And the rabbit said, have some self-respect for God's
sake. Yeah. It's unbelievable. Can't you just pretend to love me? It's like a line from an old black and white matinee.
It is, yeah.
You could at least pretend to love me, darling. Keep your talkies coming in, 83936, or go to johnny@radiox.co.uk.
Radio X.
Gav, have you got a hero for us?
I do.
Every single day of the week, the Woodman has a hero for us. Today's no exception. He teased me by saying this is an aviator who, when the chips were down, dipped him in ketchup and scoffed the lot. Gav, what did our man today do?
Well, our woman, Maggie Tereska.
Sorry, sexist presumption.
Who's our hero today? So Maggie Tereska, this is a story from Sunday, in Beverly, Massachusetts, in America. She took off on a cross-country flight to go to Portland, Maine and back from Beverly, Massachusetts Airport. She took off from Beverly Regional Airport last Sunday. And as she took off, another plane at the airport noticed that her front right main wheel had just fallen off. It was
Sunday gets out on Fridays.
It was a single-seater Piper plane with tricycle wheels. It wasn't a tail dragger. It had a nose wheel. But the other two wheels are under the wings. So they're pretty important. She lost the right-hand wheel. She was asked to circle the airport. She circled the airport for 40 minutes while the control tower figured out where they could bring her in and get the emergency services.
It's harrowing being in those planes because you really...
It's a small plane.
And then you really feel like you... And you're really conscious of that.
Absolutely. So
you can look out and see... There's my shoulder. That's air.
That's air there.
And that's
there.
About
yeah.
half a centimetre yeah. of aluminium.
And planes are not designed for impact like cars are.
No.
They're designed just to be light.
There's no crush zone.
That's right. So she circled the airport. She didn't go on her trip. She circled the airport for 40 minutes when they got the emergency services all ready. And she came in and landed it on two wheels completely successfully. She wasn't hurt. The plane did get damaged. It got pulled over onto the grass. But that's not the heroic bit. The heroic bit was this was her first ever solo flight.
Wow!
She's 17, and this is what happened on the radio. I'll just give you a little bit of it.
Okay. The Waco just said that your right main is now missing from the airplane. It is it's fallen off the airplane. Say your intentions.
Can I circle back to land?
Warrior 906X-ray, affirmative. Are you a solo, ma'am?
I'm a pseudo pilot solo, yeah.
Okay, it'll be okay. Just go ahead and circle the airport for now. Make a right turn to circle. We're going to get some people out to help you, okay?
Okay.
So pattern altitude, 1,100, and you can make a right turn out, okay?
Okay.
And she landed it successfully. Oh, she'd never been on her own on a cross-country flight, ever.
Do you know what's lovely about it, yeah? Is the woman who's the air traffic controller, she's thinking, oh, God.
I know.
And it just doesn't come through at all. It just isn't that lovely.
And
that
she's trying to stay calm.
The
that's
confidence
right.
just
yeah,
bleeds
yeah.
through and she's just...
Definitely.
We're going to get you down. Don't worry about it, huh? She had an accent like that.
Her instructor said that some pilots with more experience might have panicked, but she remained completely calm. Her father's an Air Force pilot and she wants to join the Air Force Academy.
Oh, that's brilliant. Let's clap it in, guys.
Maggie Tarasca.
Maggie Tarasca. The Johnny Vaughan 4 till 7 thing. You're a Hall of Famer. Hall of Fame. I love that extra bit there, Woodman. Good bit of content there. Ooh. Almost content creeping into the show.
Yeah.
Let's not make that a trend. It might highlight the dearth of content elsewhere.
Radio X.
That was our podcast. Gav's still laughing.
I am, yeah. It was good.
It was really good, wasn't it, Gav? What was your favourite bit?
I think it was the obese Turkish story.
That was good, wasn't it?
It's a great story.
Really good. And not offensive at all.
I'm impressed.
They are the fattest.
They're number one, yeah.
They're Europe's number one. Please tell a friend about us. Get them to download and subscribe. Rate and review. Email johnny@radiox.co.uk. If you've got any thoughts on the show or life in general, just call us, please. Radio X.